Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
percent of the work week is spent communicating, so it's important your team does it well. Enter Grammarly. Grammarly's AI helps teams communicate clearly the first time. It shows you how to make words resonate with your audience, helps with brainstorming, and lets you instantly create and revise drafts in just one click. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who use Grammarly to move work forward. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly, enterprise ready AI.
Welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast.
Bringing you the latest from the world of sports, DFS, and gambling. With over 5 years of hot takes and millions of downloads later, I guess he's been doing something right. Now, sit back and listen to one of the sharpest minds in the game. Here's your host, Dwayne Callender.
Welcome to the show, folks. Another week of Sunday action with an early start because, you know, once again, we got a London game, so let's get going because we don't have a ton of time. Jags in London hosting the Patriots. Drake May under center for New England. I have no interest in any fantasy options from this game outside of Tank Bigsby for Jacksonville. That's literally it. There's really nothing to comment on in this game. Trevor Lawrence still hasn't been the guy. I don't care what anybody says. Like, he still has not been good overall. The biggest thing is just the fact that, you know, New England is the equivalent of an expansion franchise at this stage in terms of talent on both offensive and defensive side of the ball. Jags should cover the 5.5 spread. Could Drake May put up some passing stats? Yeah, but if you look at that wide receiver core, you know, as much as I hate the Jags secondary, New England is not the team I want to test that against. So I have no interest in any fantasy options here. I have no interest in DFS, in terms of if you were doing an all-day setup. It's just nothing from this game, because even the defenses stink. It's like, there's nothing about this game even remotely appealing outside of maybe regular fantasy if you were able to pick up Tank Bigsby on waiver wire a couple of weeks ago. That's about it. Outside of that, let's move on. Atlanta hosting Seattle. Atlanta, 2.5-point favorites. Listen, this is 1 p.m. Kirk Cousins, which is usually the good time, and a West Coast team coming to the East Coast. Ideally, I think Atlanta's defense is good enough that they should be able to give Seattle a lot of problems. Do I trust Atlanta? No. But on the flip side, I really have a tough time backing Seattle that much. Like, there are too many factors that tells me this should be Atlanta winning the game. Not convincingly, but it's only a 2.5 spread. So to me, this is one of those where, you know, they kind of grind out a 27-24 kind of win. You get some back and forth. I could see Seattle running the ball with some success, but I think a lot of this is going to end up being DK Metcalf, Jackson Smith, and Njigba, Tyler Lockett, and Geno kind of spreading the ball around versus what Atlanta's going to want to do is, you know, dump passes off. I still don't quite know what to make of Atlanta's offense because we haven't seen a consistent sample size in terms of Kirk Cousins' performances. We've had the absolutely nothing throwing the ball, then we've had the heavy throwing passing games. There's been no level of consistency, so it's hard to do a true projection. I just think that, you know, everyone being so heavy on Bijan Robinson having a monster game against Seattle, I think that's where we got to be pumping the brakes a bit. That, you know, could I see Bijan having a big day running the ball? Yeah, but I think the probability of that is still much lower than some of the other guys we're going to cover at running back today. And, you know, at the cost, you know, I still think, you know, even though I don't love the game state, I still think Saquon versus the Giants is a better value than just trying to jam in Bijan at 7,100. So 7,100 Bijan, when he's still sharing work with Algier, I'd rather just play Saquon at 8,200, even though I still prefer a couple other guys ahead. It's like, you know, Kyren Williams, Joe Mixon, I would want to play them, Chuba Hubbard, Tony Pollard. Like, we're going to get into some of these other games, but, you know, Bijan in DFS, I think is a very risky spot. I don't get the projection that he's got. I was like, I think there's ways for that game to fail for Bijan's sake, because we just haven't seen enough of a consistency from Atlanta's offense to know what exactly they're going to do. Moving on. Buffalo hosting the Titans. Mason Rudolph under center for the Titans because Will Levis is still injured. And, you know, to me that kind of hurts the Bills' defensive props, because I thought for sure we were going to get a pick six or a fumble return for a touchdown against Will Levis. But, you know, outside of that, I still think the Bills win this game. I think they covered 8.5. The one thing I will see is that because the Titans have Mason Rudolph, I think a lot is going to end up being dump offs. No Ty-J Spears available. And then they're going to dump the ball off to Tony Pollard and still give Tony Pollard 25 plus touches. So with that being said, I still think Tony Pollard's a great play because of the fact that, you know, they'll still get behind, but they're still going to have to run the ball. It's not like Mason Rudolph can throw with any level of high proficiency for DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley. So, to me, I love Pollard here because there's only so many avenues that the Titans can go. I think it's going to be a very limited offense, but, you know, the opportunities are going to be there for Tony Pollard, I would think. So, to me, Bills cover. I still like Tony Pollard from a fantasy perspective. I'm still staying off of any Bills offensive options because, yes, Amari Cooper's there, but he doesn't know the playbook. I know they talk up the fact that he has picked up quite a bit of the playbook and has adjusted, but there's still a whole another set of values of kind of knowing what the play should do and then knowing what the hot reads are and kind of knowing when they audible. Like, he still has to learn all that stuff. And it's like there really wasn't enough prep time to do it. It's the other reason why I hate Davante Adams for the Jets tonight, but we'll talk about that game later. I'm not big on any of the offensive options for the Bills. You can run Josh Allen in naked stacks because I don't think there's one receiver that Josh Allen's relying upon. I think it's a roulette wheel, and there's no consistency between any of these receiving options. So even, you know, Matt Collins was getting work last week. He may not get a single target this week. It's like the Bills are just so sporadic. I don't love the spot. So I think they win. I think you can probably run James Cook if you really wanted to. It's just that, you know, I think they like Ray Davis. It's like I think it's going to be a time here with Ray Davis. Ray Davis looked so good the other night. I would be shocked if James Cook had 100% of the workload. I think it's going to be closer to 60-40 with Ray Davis picking up some additional shares. And eventually it's going to be a 50-50 timeshare with James Cook. But that's longer term from what we had seen on Monday night. But moving on. Bengals at the Browns. Bengals 4.5-point favorites. I have no interest in this game. I mean, the less said about Deshaun Watson, the better. Just there's nothing in the Browns' offense. It's like I'm sorry. It's like realistically, we can play David Njoku, but I think Njoku is one of the worst plays of the slate. Why are we like we're going by target share with David Njoku and hoping that it pans out at the tight end spot, which already stinks. You know, 4,100. I'd almost rather just pay down and punt tight end than and try to, because realistically you need a touchdown from Njoku, pretty much. Like the Browns don't score enough points on offense, so it's like how many catches do you think Njoku's gonna get? Like you're almost required to have to play. It's like I would rather just pay up, like either punt tight end or pay up for Brock Bowers than play David Njoku. I think Njoku's a terrible play. I'll just be blunt. It's like I will probably play Elijah Moore at 3,200. I don't like Jerry Jeudy either. Like Jerry Jeudy at 4,800. Again, all this is because Amari Cooper got traded, but again, because of the fact that we haven't gotten much out of anything with Deshaun Watson, trying to force feed any Cleveland plays, to me, it's just kind of absurd. It's like, this is like a last piece in only type scenario, and even then, I still think it's a bit of a reach. So, you know, on the Cincinnati side, the offense still doesn't look quite right. Chase Brown's getting more work. Jamar Chase should get some touches, but, you know, Higgins there as well. But, like, everything about the Bengals that we worried about last year is happening this year, and it's a lower ceiling because they still haven't gotten quite on track because, you know, truth be told, the Browns still have a decent defense. It wouldn't shock me if the Bengals are under 24 or I would say, yeah, probably. Maybe they get to 27, but it's like I think that takes a defensive touchdown. It's like something has to go wrong for the Browns because I think the Browns defense and the way the Bengals offense has struggled against teams that push and get in their face and jam them, it's like I think there's a real chance that the Bengals offense kind of stalls, but the Browns are so bad offensively that it won't matter. Like the Bengals are still going to cover this 4.5. My issue is just the fact that how do we make any sense of this from a fantasy perspective to be relevant? It's just like the Bengals are a disappointment. I mean, the Dolphins are a mess. It's like so many of these team options like are just dragging down fantasy rosters across the board. It's tough to get excited about most of these games. Anywho, moving on. Texans, game of the day, in my opinion. Texans at Packers. Packers 2.5-point favorites. I like the Texans side of the equation here. Bottom line, I think there's CJ Stroud's a better quarterback, but when you look at it, Jordan Love has the better team. Like the Texans offensively commit a ton of dumb penalties, and defensively, even though the stats look good, they're terrible in the red zone. So I don't understand. It's like it's a very weird dynamic. The Texans are great at being bullies of forcing teams to go 3 and out. But if you get a sustained drive on them and get in the red zone, chances are you're going to score a touchdown more often than not. It's like the Texans are one of the worst red zone defenses, even though they have one of the best defensive records in the league. So basically, they force 3 and outs, but when you get a drive on them, they can't stop a nosebleed. It's going to be interesting here because I could see the Packers looking terrible most of the game, then getting a couple of scoring drives, and then all of a sudden, the Texans being up, like, in the game they probably should have closed out, being a spot where they're trying to rally. It's like, to me, this is one of those games where it could end up going back and forth, but it'll be because the Texans were up big early, couldn't put away the Packers, and then on the back end, Jordan Love has a couple of comeback drives in him. Now, does that mean I think Love is a better quarterback? No, I think Stroud's the much better quarterback, but I don't think Stroud being better than Love is nearly enough to overcome parts of the issues I see with the Texans, which is bad penalties at the wrong time, and the fact that, you know, from an overall standpoint, the Texans have regressed in a little bit of some of the discipline of reading their own press clipping. So while I like the Texan side here as a dog, I think Green Bay wins this one tight. It's like this is like one of those weird ones where, you know, if it was a pick 'em, yeah, I'd probably take the Green Bay side being at home. But I do think this is one of those where it probably just comes down to a two-point conversion or an extra point, and we call it a day. It's like, I think it's really going to be the game of the day because it's the tightest game of the day against with two very good teams. I just think that, you know, Stroud's a little better than Love, and while the Texans do commit a lot of dumb penalties, I think they still are tight enough that even as an underdog here by not a lot of points, I think they still cover as the dog. It's just, you know, I think the Texans could end up winning this game, or it ends up being like a game that ends up having to go to overtime, and then you kick a field goal, and then, yeah, maybe then the Texans get squeezed out. But, you know, from my end, it's like I think this probably ends up being the best game of the day. Moving on. The Colts hosting the Dolphins. You know, you've already heard me talk about how disappointed the Dolphins have been without Tua. It's like, I thought things would be bad, but I didn't think it was going to be this bad. It's like, Mike McDaniel is taking so many hits to his reputation because he can't figure out the QB situation. Tyler Huntley, you know, looks way worse with the Dolphins than he ever did with the Ravens. This is a very odd situation because, you know, this offense should be way better than this. It's just, it is, you know, there's no other way to slice it. It's like, they look horrendous. Now, on the flip side, we have Anthony Richardson back for Indy. Can the offense look a little bit more semblance with Richardson? You know, he still hasn't really shown to me that he can be much of a pocket passer. I think it hurts Pittman and all the receiving options for Indy that Richardson's back versus having Flacco there. You know, Miami's just bad. So, you know, Indy's going to cover this game. I feel very confident in that. The 3.5 to me is nothing. Like this, you know, I just don't love Indy with Richardson. I just don't think it, like, so far it just hasn't been much of a fit. But, you know, it's not going to shock me if Miami scores, like, 13 points today. Like, I don't know where the offense comes from Miami. As even though they have Achan back and Mostert should be available, like, they haven't been able to stretch the field at all. Like, I just don't, realistically, I just don't know. I really don't know what we're supposed to do with this Miami team. It's like, it's been a fantasy graveyard. It's like, I have been just buried because of my drafting primarily Tyreek Hill and some of the Miami options. But, you know, there's just no other way to get around it. It's like, this has somehow been the worst-case scenario for the Dolphins with Tua being out and Mike McDaniel being exposed a bit because they don't have a plan B to work through this offense. So, anywho, moving on. My Giants hosting the Eagles. Eagles 3.5-point favorites. Listen, Saquon's return to the Meadowlands. They're going to try to give him the rock. I think this game plays ugly. I think the Giants have a chance to somehow cover this game, even if it is a 16-13 kind of game. Like, to me, the Eagles have not been impressive at all. And as long as Daniel Jones doesn't absolutely suck, the Giants will cover this game. Like, literally, this is what it comes down to. I expect the Giants defense to be able to be productive so long as Daniel Jones doesn't F it up. If Daniel Jones turns the ball over, just like, you know, goes into his, you know, fetal position mode whenever he's facing a lot of pressure from a defense, the Giants should be somewhat competent. So they've been getting away with dumping the ball off the neighbors. Will Philly try to rotate someone over the top on neighbors to discourage that? Sure. But at the same time, there's got to be other players open on the field when they're doing that. Jones just has to keep his head up and throw down the field. This should be a straightforward cover for the Giants as long as Jones does not absolutely suck. But the problem is that we know Jones isn't very good. So there's always the chance of Jones not being able to be productive. And so that's where Saquon can have a big day. It's just the fact that, you know, if the Giants just keep punting the ball and the Eagles are just going to keep running the ball, eventually the Giants defense will get tired. That's what you're banking on. So it's almost as though I would look at it as you bet the second half point spread for Philly, but at the same time, you could bet the Giants to cover, but bet the second half point spread with Philly because Philly will wear down the Giants defense. That's where I kind of look at this. But I think this game does play close. It's just the fact that, you know, outside of the other players, Saquon should have a much higher floor from a fantasy standpoint than anybody else in this game. I know people like Neighbors, but there's also the chance that Philly doubles Neighbors and Jones can't figure out a way of getting the ball. There's a very real chance of that happening. But, not going to go too crazy over the potential scenarios of this game because, you know, it's not that it's not exactly thrilling stuff to try to break down what the Giants are going to do because it's such a rudimentary college offense. It's kind of sad, to be honest. And then the other game, I consider the Texans Packers to be the game of the day. I know folks are going to bring up this game between Minnesota and Detroit or KC in San Francisco, but I already told you what my game of the day is. I think other people would say in the early window it's going to be this Minnesota-Detroit game. The caveat I have with this is just the fact that, you know, it should be played at a high level, but coming off the bye, the Vikings do have a bit of an edge being fully rested for this spot. I love Justin Jefferson here. To me, 8,500 is still too cheap for Jefferson. I'm almost of the opinion that not while you could lock him, but it's very good to have a high percentage of him. And then on the flip side, I love this spot for Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think you could play both of them together, stack the game in that fashion, play Darnold or Jared Goff in the QB spot, and take your points from there. I probably will just play Darnold, Jefferson, and Amon-Ra St. Brown together and go from there because there are enough cheap plays between the Browns and some of these other teams around the league that you can kind of go there. In my opinion, this is a case where I could literally go make an argument for either side of but the Vikings 2.5 point favorites at home and coming off the bye and being rested, I still think that's kind of the spots you want them at. So to me, I will go with I'll go with the Viking side of the equation. It wouldn't shock me if Detroit won, but I am going to take the Viking side of the equation. Should be a good game now. So that's going to do it for the early window. We're going to take a quick break and then circle right back with the afternoon games and then some of my thoughts ahead of Monday Night Football and Sunday Night Football as well. So stick around, folks.
Don't go anywhere. The Fantasy Throwdown Podcast will be right back after our sponsors pay the bills.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Attention shoppers! Wayfair's Black Friday preview sale is here early. Right now, get up to 70% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Score quality furniture for every room in the house, guest-approved bedding for a season of hosting, top brands and cookware, festive holiday decor for indoors and out, and so much more. Whether you need a new sofa that fits the whole family or a new serving dish that fits your famous sweet potato casserole, Wayfair is the place to go for Black Friday deals on finds to feast, get festive, and get comfortable all season long. Plus, sit back and relax. With Wayfair's fast and easy shipping, everything home comes straight to your home. Right now until October 31st, enjoy 10% back. That's double rewards when you join our new loyalty program. Plus, as a Wayfair Rewards member, you'll get free shipping, access to exclusive sales, and more. There's no place like home for the holidays, and no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. Shop now at Wayfair.com, and for a limited time, enjoy 10% back when you join Wayfair Rewards. Terms apply.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
88% of the workweek is spent communicating, so it's important your team does it well. Enter Grammarly. Grammarly's AI helps teams communicate clearly the first time. It shows you how to make words resonate with your audience, helps with brainstorming, and lets you instantly create and revise drafts in just one click. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who use Grammarly to move work forward. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise ready AI.
Welcome back to the show. Hope you got your popcorn ready.
Okay, we're back. And just quick note, yes, the Yankees clinched the pennant and are going on to the World Series. So we will get into baseball once the World Series matchup is set. You know, we still have the Mets and Dodgers kind of going through Game 6 later tonight. I still think the Mets have a shot here. It's like the Dodgers' offense has been very impressive. Not going to lie. It's held up. The Mets' offense has scored on the Dodgers' bullpen, but if the Dodgers lineup keeps hitting at the clip they're hitting at, they're going to win it all. Just there's too much power coming back on the flip side, as well as the Yankees have hit with their big guns. I think just in terms of the volume of hitters in the Dodgers lineup at the rate they're going at, that's probably the sign. But we're going to see. We're gonna see how series plays out, because there's still a chance that the Mets figure out a way to get it done, but the Dodgers' offense has been very impressive, to say the least, with everyone just kind of finding their stride late in the year as the Dodgers look to start earlier in the season. So that's the problem. It's like the Dodgers are getting back into the groove they were in earlier in the year before the injury started to take a toll. So interesting to see how the playoffs have unfolded, but Yankees-Dodgers would be the dream scenario for Major League Baseball and advertisers in general, but we're going to see how it plays out. We can still very well get a Subway Series, so stick around for that. And then, obviously, the Liberty and Lynx are playing Game 5. WNBA is finally going to a 7-game model, but this is the conclusion of the WNBA format of only being 5 games, so we shall see. It's been a great series. The Liberty, I would say, are the better team, but the fact that the Lynx have just been so tenacious and pushed the Liberty into making critical mistakes, you know, how can I feel that confident in the Liberty winning the game? It's like, to me, this is one of those scenarios where I could see the Liberty being up and Minnesota making them try to bleed out the game. It's like, if we get another nail biter in the final minute, it's like, it's not going to shock me at this point, because that's how the series has played out. Minnesota's been very tenacious, you know, and they've given the Liberty a lot of trouble in terms of things that they normally are able to close out well at. It's like, it just has not been a smooth series for the Liberty. So, anywho, yeah, back to football. Afternoon games, Rams and Raiders. Rams should cover this 5.5. You know, maybe Cooper Kupp's come back, maybe he doesn't, but, you know, just given where the Raiders are right now, it still looks like a mess. You know, Davante Adams wasn't playing anyway, but, you know, they may not even have Jacoby Myers. It's like the Raiders just, offense just looks garbage, just absolute garbage. You know, again, the Rams defense isn't good, but the Raiders, you still have to have weapons to be relevant in the NFL, and I just don't think the Raiders have very much on their side to make it worthwhile. So I'll take Rams minus 5.5. You know, we'll see where it goes. Even without Kupp, I still think it's a worthwhile play. Panthers at Washington. Who would have thought this? Commanders, 7.5-point favorites. And it's easily my favorite spot of the day for our offense. Like, I don't even need to do the Carolina run back. We've seen this Panthers team get pounded so many times. Give me Jaden Daniels and give me his weapon. So, you've got Terry McLaurin, you got Noah Brown. Noah Brown's only 4K. McLaurin, not that expensive in the wide receiver spot. You can play McLaurin for $6,800 on DraftKings, $1,700 on FanDuel. You know, I think McLaurin's a no-brainer. I think Daniels is pretty much a no-brainer as well. Like, the price tag is just isn't expensive enough. So, $7,600 with rushing upside, it's just too cheap on DraftKings. So, like, I'm sorry. It's like, it's going to be pretty chalky, too. It's like, I think Jaden Daniels is going to have a very healthy ownership percentage, but why try to get cute? It's like, there's nothing coming back from the Carolina side right now at this stage. Like, guys are looking to try to get traded. They're just not playing hard. You know, let's just call it for what it is. It's like, they are not playing hard. I just look at this as a smash spot for Washington. The only question is, you know, because I don't know the status of Brian Robinson Jr. and his injury history, plus the fact that he's in the timeshare with Eckler, even if he is healthy enough to play, it just hurts the running attack because you don't know where the flow's going to. I'd rather just focus on the passing game, and if the running game for Washington gets there and beats me, so be it, but I think it's more likely that the passing game for Washington just absolutely dominates the fantasy scoring in this matchup. And because of how limited the Panthers offense seems to be looking, Andy Dalton's only playing well in catch-up space right now. So you can do a run back with Deontay Johnson. But more than likely, they're probably just going to keep pounding the rock with Chuba Hubbard. And Hubbard will get you 12 to 16, which may be enough on this slate. I just don't think running back is that deep outside of Kyren Williams and a couple other guys. It's like, you know, I think you probably get away with being cheap with Chuba Hubbard and Tony Pollard and call it a day from a running attack standpoint, because I don't see a ton of massive ceiling gains from running backs this week. So to me, this is a more straightforward matchup than anything else. It's just a matter of how does Washington pound Carolina. But 7.5, I think they win this game by 2 touchdowns. Moving on. The other game of the day, which is probably going to be in the main broadcast with Tom Brady. But Niners and Chiefs. Niners, 1.5-point favorites at home. I think this line is a gift for the Niners. The Chiefs have so many injuries right now that to lose to the Chiefs, when you have the weapons the Niners do, and I know McCaffrey's not there, but compared to the Chiefs, the Niners look like a full buffet, and the Chiefs look like pretty much a Happy Meal in terms of their offensive weapons. Juju Smith-Schuster is projected to be having a major role in the Chiefs' offense. Juju. We've seen Juju. Everyone has seen Juju. Like, I'm sorry. Juju's one of the worst plays of the day. I don't care what anyone says. You know, give me lock up Kareem Hunt. Like, Juju should not be projected. Like, I'm under projecting Travis Kelce. I'm under projecting Juju. Until the Chiefs get a wide receiver, like, I would rather play Mecole Hardman than play Juju. And I'm not playing Mecole Hardman. Like, I think Juju's a terrible play. like, you telling me the Niners defense can't shut down this Chiefs offense? No, this is ridiculous. Like, to me, this is a gift spot for the Niners. If the Niners lose this game, I don't know what to say. Like, all those folks that were talking about give Purdy $250 million, like, every single one of you should have your football license revoked. If you want to give Brock Purdy that kind of money, and the Niners lose this game to the Chiefs with the way the Chiefs offense looks right now, like, the Niners should be able to put up 24 points on this team, and realistically, the Niners defense should be able to hold down the Chiefs. Like, there's no excuses for the Niners here. The Chiefs are coming in wounded. They're coming into your place. You're telling me you can't take care of it? Like, I think 1.5 is a joke. Like, to me, this is Niners all day. Like, what are we doing here? I know the Chiefs are undefeated, but, like, come on. Like, look at the matchup. Like, if we're being honest, take the nameplates off. If you saw the roster of players the Chiefs had versus, like, because we're just looking at Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. We're not looking at their stats. Just take the nameplates off. If you saw the stats of the Chiefs offense versus the Niners defense, who on earth is taking +1.5? Looking at the stats of the Chiefs, it doesn't make any sense. Like, this is just like we're all being biased because we've seen Patrick Mahomes figure out a way. But literally, Travis Kelce is not doing this week after week after week. Like, he's lost a step. And they're also not going to force feed him in these types of situations. They're just not going to do it because they're trying to save him for the postseason. The Chiefs are okay with taking a loss here. The Niners need this game. The Niners are 3-3. They've given away too many games. Like, going 3-4 with the remaining schedule they have when they haven't really played in the division, like, it could be a nightmare. Like, they still got to play the Cowboys in Sunday Night Football next week. Yes, we don't think very much of the Cowboys, but you don't want to have a Cowboys team desperate chucking the ball around. Like, that game could go sideways on them. Like, the Cowboys are far more dangerous as an offense than the Chiefs are right now. And the Cowboys don't even have a running game. And I still think they're more dangerous than the Chiefs. Like, the Niners got to take care of this game. Like, it is what it is. You know, maybe I'm being too pessimistic on the Chiefs, but it's like, I like to think I'm being realistic. If you take the nameplates off, Patrick Mahomes is just not having a great year. But it's not his fault. Like, literally, he has no weapons to work with. Juju Smith-Schuster. I'm going to leave it at that. Juju. Juju is one of the biggest fantasy options coming out of this game. Like, what are we doing here, folks? What are we doing? All right, Sunday Night Football. Steelers, home underdogs to the Jets. Jets, 1.5-point favorites in Pittsburgh. What are we doing? Like, again, like, I'm having these, like, episodes of where I'm just getting annoyed. I don't get these lines. These lines should not be this way. Yes, Aaron Rodgers got Davante Adams. Davante, we can talk all they want. Like, he has not played in weeks. Like, yeah, was the hamstring as big of an issue as no, he was trying to get traded from the Raiders. He was not going to play through that hamstring. But it's not like he didn't tweak parts. It's like, do we really think Davante Adams is going that hard with multiple snaps, like, game one? Like, no. It's like, he's going to get featured early, and then he just may slowly get phased out of the offense in the second half as, like, he starts getting tired from not having the reps. Like, to me, this screams Jets may take the first half. Steelers are going to dominate the second half. What have we seen out of this Jets team that tells us that they're going to be able to control the game and dictate their will on an opponent? What have we seen out of the Jets this year? We've seen them blow game after game in tight situations and not be consistent with executing their offense. That's all we've seen out of the Jets. Like, I don't want to hear it that, you know, the Jets have so many weapons. Like, we haven't seen the Jets put together a competent game plan the entire year. One of their wins was against a Titans team where Will Levis literally gave away the effing game. Like, let's be honest here. So, this is a lot of bias against Russell Wilson. Because no one really agrees with the decision to go to Russell Wilson over Justin Fields, even though we saw ample evidence of Justin Fields not being able to make the touch passes to open up this offense further. That's why Russell Wilson's starting. Russell Wilson can make throw those moon balls, like he can throw the intermediary. If Russ is truly done, which I don't think he is, but if he's truly done, we'll see it in this game tonight. Because the Steelers are going to have to throw this ball against the Jets secondary. It's a tough matchup, but Russ, being a veteran, will know when to pick his spots. I don't love the Steelers' wide receiver core. So, in terms of showdown, I'm not sure if we're going to get to doing or recording an episode. I love playing the Steelers' defense against Aaron and the Jets because everyone's going to want to load up on Breece Hall. And Breece Hall can have a monster game. But there's also the flip side of Aaron throw, like, and people are going to say Aaron doesn't throw interceptions. Aaron throws interceptions. It's just that now it's becoming more prevalent as he's getting older and forcing things that teams can make more plays. The Steelers can turn the Jets over. And they can get sacks on the Jets. Like, Aaron does not move. Like, I'm telling you, like, this is a sets up as a classic Steelers spot where you could bet the Jets could be up because maybe Devontae does something, or maybe more likely Garrett Wilson or Breece Hall does something spectacular, gets him some, easy looks. But in terms of the overall dynamic, I just don't like this Jets team at all. It's like until they actually put together some competent, and maybe this is the start of it. If the Jets put together a full 60 minutes of looking good on offense, I will start giving them more respect. But giving them the favorite line with this against the Steelers defense at home, like, this is an insult to the Steelers. Like, give me Steelers all day. We'll leave it at that. It's like, to me, I'll play Steelers defense in the captain if I have to on DFS. Like, to me, like, I think it is such an insult to the Steelers. Plus, the other factor is Jalen Warren should be back for the Steelers. So, yes, that hurts Najee Harris, but it also hurts Jets because the Steelers will have two backs that can wear on that defense. Like, I'll just take the Steelers side of the equation. If I get beat, I get beat. But, like, the Jets got to prove to me first. Now, moving on to Monday Night Football. We got two games. Again, this is kind of awkwardness. It's like, the NFL, like, just doesn't trust their games to not suck sometimes. So now we're getting these extra games on Monday Night while they're testing this doubleheader format. We'll see. Ravens Bucks, Ravens 3.5 point favorites on the road at Tampa. I mean, Tampa, we want guys that can run and throw the ball deep. This is a perfect Lamar Jackson spot. Realistically, like, and when we're trying to target the Tampa Bay Bucks defense, usually we go for guys that have, because you don't like to run between tackles. So, like, I don't love Henry, but I love Lamar in this spot because you want a stretch run on Tampa. To me, this is a Lamar spot. And the fact that he can throw it down the field because you know Tampa will gamble. Like, this is a flower spot. And we can do a run back. We can do some lineups with Baker Mayfield. But, we are 100% concentrating on this game between the Ravens and Bucks in terms of fantasy than we are Chargers-Cardinals. Like, there's no question in my mind. I am playing Ravens-Bucks over the Chargers-Cardinals matchup. I will take a running back and defense from either side of the matchup between the Chargers and Cardinals. And then I will just stack the rest of the game between the Ravens and Bucks. Like, to me, that's a no-brainer. I'm very much in that favor from a fantasy mindset. But, maybe we'll record something tomorrow to kind of go into this further when we break down the slate. But to me, that's the way to go about it. But in terms of Ravens favored by 3.5, I mean, we've seen this Ravens get into these shootouts where things get a little crazy and, they don't come through. I think there's a reality where Baker finds a way to keep this game close. And whether or not Mike Evans plays because of the hamstring injury, I still think there's a chance that the Bucks find a way to keep it close. Like, the Bucks have talent at wide receiver, and Baker can throw it when he's focused and locked in. And I think he's going to have a chip on his shoulder, you know, because everyone compares Baker to Lamar because Baker was the number one pick in that draft. Lamar was kind of like the guy who was, you know, not necessarily going to be the guy. I look at this from the standpoint of this should be very interesting. Also in that 2018 draft, where Baker was one and Lamar rounded out the first round, Vita Vea for the Tampa. Like, Vita Vea, the run stopper for Tampa. It's like, when Vita Vea is playing, you do not want to be running in between tackles. I'm going to say this again. People are going to play Derrick Henry, and Derrick Henry could go off, but to me, this is one of the more reckless spots you could ever play. Derrick Henry. Like, I don't love this spot for Derrick Henry. I do love it for Lamar. Lamar can throw deep. He can stretch it, the field with his running. Like, there's a very real chance, like, we can get a Justice Hill game on the outside. Like, again, Derrick Henry is going to play. But there's a real chance Derrick Henry might be behind the rushing of most of the Ravens in this one. I'm just saying. It's like, yes, there's a chance Derrick Henry goes off because he's Derrick Henry. But in terms of the matchup, this matchup favors the other runners on Baltimore over Derrick Henry. I could be wrong there, but like, to me, this is a very interesting one. And again, don't think Baker Mayfield doesn't want to show up in prime time against Lamar. It matters. It matters. It definitely matters. So I think it's going to be one of the more interesting games we're going to see in a primetime window this year. Plus the fact that it's going to be somewhat lesser owned and diluted a bit because you still have folks that will want to try to be different and play differential by playing this Arizona Chargers matchup. I just think that the Chargers want to run the ball so much that they will turn it into a rock fight the way Harbaugh wants to play. And honestly, it's been, even with Justin Herbert being somewhat injured, it still worked for the Chargers. So to me, I don't see them deviating. That's why I just don't see the upside in the Chargers game, and I see all the upside in the Ravens Bucks game. Like, folks are thinking the Ravens are going to steamroll the Bucks. I'm not sold on that. But I love the offensive potential on both sides of the ball, even if Mike Evans is not healthy enough to play, which I don't think he will be. I think it's going to be a lot of Chris Godwin. But I think the Bucks receivers have enough options that, you know, we want to be on that side of the equation. So I'm going to still take the Ravens side of the equation to cover, but I am not going to be remotely shocked that the Bucks find a way to cover or win that game outright. It's not going to shock me in the slightest. I am going to take the Chargers side of the equation over Arizona. I think it does play more towards just grind it out type of football, and realistically, that's where Jim Harbaugh wants these games to be for the Chargers. So to me, I'm taking the Chargers -2.5 over the Cardinals. I'm going to take the Ravens -3.5 over the Bucks. But I think that Bucks team can make this game very interesting. So to me, I'm not. I think we're going to get at least one good Monday night game out of this. But we could get two tight games out of it. So we shall see. But you know, interesting slate of games coming out today. But as I said, my favorite spot is Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. So without much further ado, we're going to get on out of here because we got the London games coming up. So good luck, folks. Have a good one. And until next time, be well.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all major outlets.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
We know there's power in our numbers. We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C., not extremist Bernie Moreno. If elected, Moreno could make the Radical Project 2025 playbook a reality, endangering our democracy and our hard-won rights and freedoms. Together, we can stop Moreno and his allies from reversing everything our ancestors fought for: Social Security, voting rights, and more. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of life-saving drugs like insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in Black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.